6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." When the great crowd of the Jews learned that he was there, they came not only because of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death as well, since it was on account of him that many of the Jews were deserting and were believing in Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Greed. Not one of our finest human traits, but one of the most well-recognized. Jane Austen nailed the heart of greed when she penned the British novel Sense and Sensibility. John Dashwood, called to his dying father's bedside, is asked to promise that he will help his stepmother and stepsisters. Because the father is limited as to how much he can leave to his second wife and their daughters, he knows that they will not be able to maintain a comfortable life. John, already a man of great resources from a wealthy mother's estate and a rich wife, agrees that he will honor his father's request. This sounds simple until his insensitive wife, Fanny, gets involved. At first, the couple feels that £3,000 is plenty to discharge the promise to John's father. The sum quickly goes down to £1,500 before it drops down to £100 per year while the stepmother is alive. When they end the discussion, it is determined that a gift of £20 now and then will suffice. Wow, the father would be horrified to know how little would go to his second family. John and Fanny exhibit the very heart of greed. They don't need the money, but why not keep adding to their already considerable resources? And in disgust, John's stepmother calls them vultures. It would be hard to disagree. No extravagance to be found here, either in heart or reality. Why waste money giving it away when it would increase their own resources? The opposite of greed is generosity, giving lavishly with one's heart. Our lesson this day recounts one of the most lavish, fragrant events in the life of Christ. It is a story of unbelievable extravagance and an act of undeniable worship. Mary's worship of Christ is lived out through her actions, while Judas shows his true colors. Christ has made a dangerous decision. He travels to Bethany, a mere 2 miles from Jerusalem. He is already a marked man. The chief priests and the Pharisees have put out an all-points bulletin seeking this man who would be king of the Jews. This miracle worker who brought Lazarus back to life after 4 days in the tomb has everyone talking. Fearing any competition, Caiaphas, the high priest, makes a tactical decision. Kill Christ, for it is better for one man to die than that the whole nation perish. For the good of the nation and for the protection of his own power, Christ must die. Christ knows that there's a bounty on his head, but he takes the chance and goes to a festive dinner party with his disciples and his good friends, including Martha, her sister Mary, and their newly resurrected brother, Lazarus. Given Martha's reputation for gracious hospitality, Mary's devoted attentiveness, and the undeniable gratitude of Lazarus, one can well imagine the ambiance that night. So many people in too small a space, awash in flickering lamplight, enjoying food, wine, and conversation. With all the socializing, Mary's brief absence may not have been noticed at first. She has quietly slipped away to retrieve a large vial of scented nard, a costly perfumed oil. When she returns to the table, it will only take a moment to get everyone's attention. For the moment the vial is opened, the pungent scent begins to permeate the room. Then Mary unbinds her hair, an unexpected and socially inappropriate gesture in public, even among friends. She crouches down. She anoints the Lord's feet with the intoxicating fragrance. She pours out the entire bottle and begins to rub the oil into his feet. There is so much of it, too much for the Lord's feet. So Mary begins to wipe the excess oil from his feet with her hair. If the overpowering fragrance didn't cause everyone to pause, then the sight of her servant-like behavior would give pause. Washing feet that have trod the same dusty roads as animals was a job that belonged to the lowest of servants. Those assembled for the dinner party must have looked on and felt it was all too surreal. Mary of Bethany released this treasure from its container and used it despite its cost. She had no reason to hoard this costly treasure. It was time to get out the good stuff and use it. Not a single drop would remain. John records 2 responses to this act, one from Judas and one from Jesus. 2 men with very different views of what this gesture is worth. Judas is incensed at Mary's wastefulness and at a missed opportunity to pocket a goodly amount of coin. In a belligerent tone, he scolds her for her extravagance. His plan would have been to sell the nard. It was worth an entire year's pay. And give the money to the poor, or so he said. Since he controlled the alms for the poor, it was also a convenient wallet for himself. Skimming was a fine art with him. Why waste the good stuff on Christ when he could benefit himself? Surprisingly, Jesus is willing to have this treasure lavished on him. He scolds Judas, saying, "You will always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." It matters. Christ knows that the time of his burial is not far off. While Mary was worshiping Christ for bringing her brother Lazarus back to life, Christ accepted this generosity as a suitable way of preparing him for burial. He wasn't dead yet, but this was his chance to be anointed. Like getting fragrant, beautiful flowers while he is alive, instead of having them sent to the wake. Mary knew what the treasure was worth. A thanksgiving for her brother's resurrection. Judas knew what the treasure was worth, a salve for his own greediness. Do we know what treasure we have received from the Lord, and how do we treat that treasure? What has the Lord done for us that should make us willing to give him back our best selves? It's Lent, a time when we especially reflect on the difficult task given to the Lord, a task of great challenge and sacrifice. We are reminded of this in the RCA Communion Liturgy. Our Lord Jesus Christ was sent of the Father into the world to assume our flesh and blood and to fulfill for us all obedience to the divine law, even to the bitter and shameful death of the cross. By his death, resurrection, and ascension, he established a new and eternal covenant of grace and reconciliation, that we might be accepted of God and never be forsaken by him. No question that the Lord lavishes gifts of precious worth to a people often undeserving of such extravagance. Every moment of every day, we receive treasure in the form of endless mercy and redemption, flowing over us just like the nard that Mary used to saturate the feet of the Lord. And in response, we have a choice to hoard or share these priceless treasures. Are we greedy? Or are we willing to be openly grateful to the Lord? Good news for us. It's not too late to give our best. In thanksgiving, we can commit to a lavish attitude when it comes to worship, praise, and service to show how much we treasure the Lord. We can take the bountiful gifts of the Lord and return them both to the Lord and to others in robust praise and prayer, in selfless giving of our talents and resources to help those in need, so that the treasure continues to be shared by more and more who see our faith and benefit from our service. This Lent and beyond, I urge all of us to break open our hearts, souls, and minds, and let others know that the Lord has lavished us because we are his beloved, priceless people. Amen. Let us pray. May the God of grace bless this word, that the word of Christ may dwell in us richly, and that we may bear fruit to God's glory. Amen.